Welcome to The Softer Side of Finance, the weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg explains how the finance function can create more value through the human dimensions of people, organisation and culture, with a global audience on LinkedIn Audio. Recorded as a live session, anyone can join in. Raise your hand and the stage is yours. Fancy joining Anders? Head over to LinkedIn and sign up for the next event. For now, here's what you've missed so far.
All right, let's get started. Another episode of The Softer Side of Finance, running every Monday afternoon, at least here in Europe, morning in the US, evening in Asia. We are still talking about the 10 Commandments of Planning and Forecasting, soon to be published as the Planning and Forecasting Manifesto. Really exciting about that. Today's topic is why a plan needs multiple scenarios. And we'll be reviewing the article I published back in October last year called Never Plan Without Preparing Multiple Scenarios. So let's kick things off. Every startup business goes through a stage of gazing in rapture at an Excel spreadsheet, predicting riches beyond imagination, and believing that with honest hard work, the plan must come to pass. This mindset can prevail long into the development of a business, especially when the early years come with a fair tailwind. If there's no tailwind, probably you're out of business pretty soon. It's not helped either by external stakeholders, from perhaps early stage investors to the stock exchange later on, demanding a return on investment that matches the plan. But we know the truth. The plan will never come true. We talked about accuracy in a previous show, and being on the road for the past week presenting both in London and Ghent in Belgium, quite a bit of discussion over the accuracy theme. But here is, we know that the plan will never be realized 100% the way we expected it to. So those precise activities that we plan for will not necessarily generate that precise bottom line. However, hard you work trying to react and develop a new plan in real time can spiral into disaster. You need to start planning alternatives from the get-go. And that doesn't mean a finger-in-the-air sensitivity analysis on the headline numbers to tick a box on the management to-do list. How do you prepare multiple scenarios without losing focus on the ultimate direction of travel? And what happens when the real world delivers an unexpected kick in the balance sheet? Can be something positive as well, right? I heard one question from a person last week who said, he was dealing with operational stakeholders, they just wanted the number that they could plan around. They didn't want multiple scenarios. And I get that. And of course, there is a plan A. And if you're planning, for instance, a network business, you need that plan A to plan around. But it doesn't mean you don't have plans in the drawer in case demand is 5% higher, 5% lower, or whatever are your triggers. It just means that, of course, there is a main scenario that you plan accordingly with. That's where you start. If reality then changes, you need to have those multiple plans ready. I mean, I can look at myself, for example. When I started as an entrepreneur at Business Partnering Institute more than 3 years ago, now full-time, great start, the first 14 to 17, 20 days. And then, what do you know? A pandemic hits. All the plans that I had worked on, gone. Almost overnight, or that's how it felt at least. But of course, it took a few weeks before reality dawned on all of us. What do? You can't cry, right? So you sort of have to come up with new ways to approach things. So we started to build the business, spend time on creating product sheets, discussing our value proposition, creating new websites. We did a lot of things on the internal sides. And then when demand was ready to be unleashed again, boom, 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 we were able to land some great deals and work with some great clients. And from there, everything was just working. But you couldn't have planned for that. And every single week, it feels like something happens that we couldn't plan for. That's reality, right? So we need to have plans in place in case something else happens. And no matter how many scenarios you come up with, Can I predict exactly which of the realities are going to be true? But simply having multiple scenarios train you to act in a more agile and flexible way when things don't turn out the way you expected. So what do you do when planning for multiple scenarios? You can have a high, low, and a base case. For instance, the simple scenario planning, high-low, is the litmus paper of realism and robustness. The worst case is a test of survival, throws into sharp focus the point at which the business fails. The best case is a test of resources. It highlights scarcity and impractical assumptions. Because you can go out of business, both because there's no business or there's too much business. You can go out of business because you run out of cash, no matter how profitable the business is. So you gotta test your business at certain assumptions. You gotta stress test. If you're a bank, you know that, right? So you have to stress test your balance sheet and everything else continuously. But even with the stress test, we can see that it's not enough. Banks still fail. So no matter how many controls and scenarios and stress tests you have, things can still go wrong. Of course, like the original plan, neither the best nor the worst case scenarios are going to happen, at least not exactly as how you've laid them out. They are tools for improvement. They give planners an opportunity to test their first past assumptions, reflect on the original forecast, and identify the critical drivers and milestones that will make or break the company on its journey. It's part of the planning feedback loop, the starting point for the creation of not only a better forecast, but more realistic and actionable contingency plans. Real alternative scenarios will emerge from what is learned here. That critical milestone will be your trigger to bring in investment and resources, for example, to maintain momentum. Those key drivers are the foundation of a nuanced set of high-low scenarios that enable you to adapt and pivot to stay on course. Everything we have discussed so far in this series comes together in developing multiple scenarios. Simplicity, tested assumptions, clear processes, and an understanding that a forecast is a navigation manual, not a life belt, but they're all critical. Again, looking at our own business, we set targets and we forecast, and we probably never hit the exact number, still growing like crazy. But whenever we don't hit a number, we will learn from it. Give you a concrete example. At the start of every month, I prepare a revenue forecast based on the clients we have and the engagements we know. I list them by client and by engagement partner. Then I share that list with the engagement partners for them to confirm their expectations, or write up or write down the expected revenue. That gives a great forecast for what we expect to land. And of course, I compare this to our budget or our target, so we can also learn from, okay, why are we now vastly different? Then at the end of the month, when we've done the invoicing, we look at the numbers again and say, okay, what happened? And how can we learn from it? Why do we run this process? It's because if we don't, we're more likely than not to miss revenue targets because we're not being able to plan around either being short on revenue, engagements, or short on staff and resources. So the earlier we know, the earlier we can make contingency plans. And it's the same in big companies. If you wait 3 months to understand whether you're on track or not, forget about it. We don't live in that world anymore. We need to know as soon as possible. That's why you need to track your strategic assumptions in real time and critical resources in real time. How's planning with multiple scenarios done in your company? Are you planning with multiple scenarios? Feel free to raise your hand and come up on stage if you want to share or ask questions on how to develop multiple scenarios. Okay, I can see we have a few people coming up here. Hello, Ernest. Welcome to the stage. Feel free to introduce yourself and share your perspective, ask questions.
Thank you. So, Ernest, finance business partner for Treasury in Absa Bank Ghana. Just to contribute to the discussion on the floor and how we run scenarios in our world. So we typically go around these steps, right? We will identify the key drivers for whatever we want to. And so we have two ways. We look at it in terms of impact, and we look at it in terms of variability when we are assessing the key drivers. Right? Some of the drivers might change, but they are not impactful to our cash flows, you know, essentially. And then also, we don't consider them. Then we also consider those ones which, if they are not variable, if they are not likely to vary, then of course, they don't fall in line with the scenario planning, even though they may be impactful. And what that means is that we are fairly able to estimate what is likely to happen. And most of the time, it does. So we look at the key drivers in those two lenses, and then we assess the impact. And if it's also likely to vary, then that's fine. Then we look at that in terms of market trends, economic factors, and economic variables as impact cash flows. Then we look at that. Then we develop scenarios around those metrics, right? And we look at how the future will unfold in terms of the narratives around those two or those number of scenarios that we decide to have. Then we analyze those scenarios in terms of impact onto the organization, sometimes on finances, on operations, even employees and customers, because some of these metrics and the decisions we decide to do have far-reaching consequences. And so we look at them in terms of the finance, that's the first stage, and then should there be any impact on operations or on employees, on customers? And we do all these assessments. Then we move to the strategies around how to respond to each of these scenarios should they happen, right? And contingency plans and risk management plans around these metrics. Then we test them. We test the feasibility of those strategies around those scenarios, how effective they are and how adaptable they are in times of when the events crystallize. Then we look at that. So we have this as back pocket, and we run with the normal flow. So that should triggers point to the fact that we are heading towards a certain strategy, a certain set of scenario. Then that way we have the mindset already, we have the flexibility already to kick in. It may not happen exactly as we have forecasted. You know, it gives us room to be open to anything that is likely to happen and have the right mindset to, you know, avert it or minimize the impact should all these events happen. So that's how we approach it. And I feel like to be helpful to share. Thank you, Anders.
Thanks a lot for sharing that. I really love that process, right? I mean, this is exactly the structure that you need to apply. Know your drivers, assess on a 2x2, how variable are they and what impact could they have, and where you see the biggest risks, develop mitigation plans around those, or of course could be opportunities as well. And so develop plans on how to realize those opportunities. And like you said, it won't happen exactly the way that you plan for it in your scenarios, but it gives you that flexibility and adaptability, and it trains your muscle of taking action when reality doesn't turn out the way you expected it to. So love the example, Ernest. Great that you came up here and took us through it. And I think that's the way to do it. I couldn't really add more to it. So I really appreciate that part. We're going to bring Troy up as well. Troy is a longtime guest on the show. Troy, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Anders. I'm fine, thanks. Hello to you. Hello to all the listeners. Actually, I have a question. I wanted to see if you have any thoughts on leveraging AI in this planning process? Like, we're surrounded these days with a lot of AI tools coming out. Do you have any thoughts on that, like how we can use AI in planning?
Yeah, I think the very, very simple approach, and I don't know how mature it is, but it can probably, you could probably make it happen, is basically to ask, okay, you can feed probably the AI with your base forecasting model. And then you can basically ask it different scenarios. So if this, that, or the other happen, then where are we likely to turn out? What would be effective strategies for handling it? And so on. Probably many of the answers will be quite generic, but since you can already now build a machine learning driven forecast that can give you your revenue in 2 days or less, then I'm sure you can also build in some AI assisted bots that can basically search the market for the different drivers that you have and come up with different alternatives. So absolutely, we should be able to ask the machine for different scenarios, and it should come up with some reasonably feasible scenarios that we could expect to happen. And then from there, we can discuss, okay, so what we would then do about this if it happens. So definitely, I think we should use it as much as possible, and it will only keep getting better. So it's a great question, Troy.
Thanks. That's very insightful.
Super stuff. Let's just continue for a little bit here. So what happens when reality diverges from the plan? The world around us has a nasty habit of throwing curveballs. Where every carefully considered future outcome, there are many more that could arise. The global economic and socio-political landscape is too complex to predict with accuracy. Sanctions, war, pandemics, supply chain disruption, you know all the things we have been hit by just recently. You don't know what's going to hit us going forward. You know something is going to hit us that you didn't plan for, right? So these all have, you know, they're a fraction of trading blocks were not in anyone's forecast just a few years ago, right? Who knows what the next decade holds? No one. There are many things that we cannot see until we know what they are. And if you go to the article back from October, I'll post a link to it in the show notes. There's a experiment called Dollenbach's cow that you can try to look into there. But fortunately, the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting have prepared us for the situation that we're in now. We're ready to recast the figures, test new assumptions, or plot our new course towards the horizon and take full advantage of opportunities that we cannot yet imagine. So a few questions here. You know, what is your tried and tested method of producing multiple forecast scenarios? We heard from Ernest here, great example. How are they best communicated to stakeholders? Maybe we should hear about that as well. And we're just going to bring Muhammad up as well here. Muhammad, welcome to the stage. We'd like to introduce yourself and share your perspectives or ask questions.
Thanks, Andres. Hello. And also hello to for all of your guests. This is me, Muhammad Hussein. I am a service delivery specialist in McKinsey and the company. What I need to ask about is, I am locally based in Egypt. And currently, we have a diverse and frequent regulations, laws, economical laws into the fintech and the financial core banking itself. Regarding your slot and why plans need the multiple scenarios, I asked you about what should be the plan focused on as a core values from the customer perspective or the financial sustainability in terms of rapid change in laws or rapid change in the defined tech methodologies, especially in the area of auditing and T24 banking solution. I would be glad if I hear your input. Thanks again.
Thanks for coming up, Mohammed. I think what's key, regardless of the economical environment that you're in and how rapid it might change, is really to ask yourself questions. So what would happen if, right? So if you know that the legislative environment is kind of volatile, you can ask yourself questions to say, what would happen if this law that is now being discussed somewhere would actually be changed? To the most extreme case. Okay, you can stress test your model like that, right? So the best we can do when we are not in control of things is to ask questions. And sometimes, quite often actually, we cannot necessarily ask the question directly to those that have these things into control, for instance, the policy makers. But we can hypothetically ask ourselves, what would happen if? And then, of course, you can brainstorm on different kind of options from the not so extreme to the very extreme. And from that, develop different scenarios around it. But I think that's the best you can do. Be critical and ask those questions. And you can use this technique for any kind of situation that you're in. Similarly, you can ask the same technique if you have a plan. You can ask yourself, what would have to be true for this plan to be a good plan? And then you can say, well, then policymakers shouldn't change regulation too much. You can say consumer trends shouldn't go too much in a different direction. And then you know, if that starts to happen, then your plan is probably not a good plan anymore and needs to pull out another one of your scenarios. Right? So asking yourself questions is a great technique, and it holds a lot more promise than we think. And there's many different ways that these questions can be asked. You can ask, okay, so you know, what would Google think? What will Google do to solve this? Or what if we asked, you can ask ChatGPT, what would it say, right? So there's many different ways to get answers to these questions. Or actually you can ask, for instance, ChatGPT to come up with a lot of questions you can ask yourself. So I know I'm going a bit in circles here, but it's just to give you some sort of insights into how to deal with these kind of situations. And I hope that made sense to you. This was the 9th commandment. So we have one commandment to go next week. And then we are at a wrap up for the planning and forecasting 10 commandments. We'll have a wrap up show as well. And if you want to be on the early release list of the planning and forecasting manifesto, then feel free to send me a message on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to send it to you directly. It is ready for a publication, so it will come out soon. The key point from today's show is, in very simple terms, that we cannot predict what will happen, and hence we need multiple scenarios. With multiple scenarios in hand, you can start to plan for what may happen and follow maybe the process that Ernest outlined earlier. If you didn't catch it, then reach out to Ernest directly. It was a great process. And then suddenly you'd have some great plans in place to be able to tackle whatever happens. See, Troy, you might have a final point here. Feel free.
Just another quick question, Anders. I know we all love Excel. Is Excel the best tool for scenario planning, or should we also consider other tools out there, like FP&A planning tools?
I think what Excel can do, or similar kind of spreadsheet software, is that if you don't have a model for a particular scenario, and suddenly this scenario comes into play, you can build a quick model to test it in Excel. But if you're building a more structured way of doing scenario planning, I probably wouldn't use Excel as my main tool, unless, of course, I was out of options for investments and everything else. Then I probably would get some sort of FP&A tool to help me do this. Lots of great tools on the market. It doesn't have to be a huge planning tool. There's also very much more nimble tools that you can build a simple driver-based model, and then you can change some of the drivers to create your scenarios. So only for MVPs, I would use Excel, and then I would probably get a more structured tool for building going forward.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You are welcome, Troy. And with that, I'm going to thank everyone for being here today, especially Ernest, Troy, and Mohammed for being on the stage. You are the guys that make this show really fun and interesting, I think, and not that I don't want to listen to myself, but I'm sure everyone also wants different perspectives. And thank you, everyone in the audience. I truly appreciate you being here today. And I hope to see you again next week as we come up with the last commandment of the 10 commandments of planning and forecasting. See you all, hopefully, next week, and have a great week ahead. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Softer Side of Finance, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on how the finance function can create more value. And why not join Anders every Monday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?